Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ilona Europa, Accent on LA Talk Radio, Accent on London edition. And today we have very, very, very special day. I am a little nervous because this is a serious interview for me. And I want people to also be educated and love my guests because they are very, very interesting. Great two gentlemen. So, welcome to our show, Daniel Kapczynski, the first Polish-born member of British Parliament. And we have also with us Philip Derawenda, who is a junior parliamentary researcher for Daniel Kapczynski, MP. Welcome to the show.
We have it's a pleasure, great pleasure to be on the program.
And I think we all need to say dzień dobry. That's in Polish, good day.
Dzień dobry. Oczywiście, ale ja myślałem, że ten wywiad będzie po angielsku. Mam nadzieję, że będzie po angielsku, mimo że ja cały czas uczę się po polsku.
That's beautiful. Now I need to translate because obviously interview will be in English, but I cannot believe how beautiful you speak Polish. So you said that you're hoping that the interview will be in English, but obviously you can speak Polish. That's so cool. Lovely. Congratulations. Now we'll be speaking English, but hey, your Polish is great. So I also would like to thank Joseph Mikołaj Ray Jr. for the introduction. I know he's our friend, and I know you both were working together, especially in London. And Joseph Mikołaj Ray, he is known like one of the biggest Polish patriots in America. So I cannot wait when one day we all will meet together in London, in Poland, USA. So thank you, and we'll say hi because he has birthday today. So happy birthday.
Oh,
yeah, I know, to Joseph.
Happy birthday, yes.
That's wonderful. So, Daniel, you are a strong advocate of Poland, Polonia, by utilizing Polonia's connections throughout the world to improve trade between Poland, the UK, and North America. And you are also represent Conservative Party. So I think people need to know also how deeply you are involved with Poland, because in 2016, you were distinguished as an outstanding Pole abroad of 2016 for your efforts in promoting trade and political relations between United Kingdom and your country of birth, Poland. So I think that's a cool introduction. We already are feeling very close to you, as I'm Polish and Philip is also Polish. And so let's start from the beginning. You were born in Warsaw, yes?
Yes, a hospital called Sacherów, which is the military hospital in Praga, in Warsaw. But we left Poland in 1978 because my parents were fiercely anti-communist. The communists took everything away from my grandfather and my family, and we found it suffocating. I think my parents found it suffocating to live under communism. And of course, it was terrible for us when almost immediately after we left, stan wojenny, so martial law, was imposed in Poland in December of 1981. General Jaruzelski, the communist dictator, shut all the borders in order to suppress solidarity. And it's impossible to return to Poland. So, of course, my beloved grandfather, grandmother, all of our relatives were trapped behind the Iron Curtain. And it was very, very difficult for us to communicate with them. Even our letters that we sent to them were opened up by the communist regime. Anything of value was stolen. Everything was intercepted. So it was very difficult, but I remember returning back to Warsaw for the first time in March of 1983 when the borders were reopened to see my grandmother. And of course, it was very, very painful to see still tanks on the streets. Everything was rationed. And every time I came to see my beloved grandfather, I didn't have clothes in my suitcase. I had coffee. I had raisins. I had all sorts of things, oranges, all sorts of things that my beloved grandfather couldn't buy in shops in order to bring that for him. And it made my heart bleed when I saw how repressed Polish people were by that brutal communist regime. So Poland has come on a great deal since 1983, and now has one of the fastest growing economies in Europe. We should be very, very proud of the extraordinary work ethic and the way in which these younger generation of Poles have rebuilt Warsaw, the whole of Poland, so quickly over a period of 30 years. And when you can compare and contrast the standard of living in communist Poland with what the Poles have today, I think it's testimony to the hard work and sheer determination of young men and women in Poland to rebuild their country.
Oh my gosh, I am so proud of being Polish too. So your words are really touching my heart. I think one of the most beautiful country in the world. And I agree with you, it's something very special about Polish people. Not only we are very smart and romantic and we have all these good values that they come with our blood and because grandparents gave it to us. And I think something is about us that we are very strong, but also very warm people. And you, being only 6 years old, living in Poland and coming back to see your grandparents and caring about their well-being, I think this is also the story of a lot of Polish people who left for better, maybe life.
There was I have two photographs here on my desk. I'm speaking to you from my office in House of Commons, and I have two photographs on my desk. One of them is of my partner. The other one is my grandfather, my beloved grandfather, Roman Kowczynski, who was a great Polish patriot. And he was born in 1903 when there was no Poland, when his part of Poland was occupied by the Germans. They weren't even allowed as children to learn Polish. It was illegal to learn Polish. They had to have Polish school books under the floorboards because they were prevented from learning Polish. And then he died in 1986, 3 years before a free Poland in 1989 was reinstated. But he said to me the last time I saw him, in September of 1986, a month before he died, he said to me, "I know I'll never see the end of communism in Poland in my lifetime, but you will. And I have every confidence of that because this system is so evil and it is so incompatible with the human soul and the human spirit that I know eventually it will crumble and disintegrate." I just am very, very sad that he never got to see a free Poland because, of course, that generation of Poles only had freedom for a very short period of time from 1918 until 1939, which is nothing in the grand scheme of somebody's life. Then always there was the oppression by Germans or by Russians of these Polish people. And I just feel so strongly now as a British Member of Parliament over the last 16 years that we Poles, wherever we are, by the way, there are 20 million of us overseas. So 60 milionów, I went to a conference in Rzeszów called 60 milionów, 60 million, because it's testimony to the fact, although there are approximately 4 million Poles in Poland. There are 20 million of us all around the world. And whether it's Brazil, whether it's in Canada, whether it's in America, the United Kingdom, or anywhere else, we Poles are just, I say to my friends in Warsaw, we are just as Polish as you are. We are just as Polish as you are. Just because we have to live in America or Canada or Britain, that Polishness is within us. And I think all of us have the duty and responsibility, no matter what our jobs, whether we are politicians, whether we are theatre producers, whether we are rock stars or sports people, or whatever it is, we have a duty and a responsibility to work for the good and benefit of our homeland, Poland. And now that we have left the European Union, I very much hope that the United Kingdom and America and Canada will create an alternative transatlantic partnership, which Poland would be able to look at as an equal partnership with us as it has the European Union.
Very, very optimistic future you're painting for us. And I really, really believe that, yes, your words will really show us the way. And I think world is evolving in front of our eyes. We have wonderful Filip with us. Obviously, he's the young generation. I have with me my daughter, Natasha Miraja, who is producing the show. And I'm also guilty or happy because she was born in America. She is an American, but I took her to Poland only a few times. And now my child, Polish passport and, you know, Polish citizenship. So we moved recently from America. Obviously, she has a great job in London. So we moved here, hoping that Poland will be our in and out place. And because she loves Poland, she loves everything. And I don't know how this happened. Like you say, it's 60 million of us. 60 million and one, because my child right now, I don't know, she's European, she's Polish, she's an American too. But, you know, that's what is the hope. And Filip, you are young, you're studying in London. If you can tell us a little bit about you, you're working with Daniel. And how do you see, from your perspective, the difference that maybe 10 years ago you remember Poland is growing? Mm-hmm. Now you are in London and in Poland, so freely traveling. How do you see yourself, and do you feel that Poland has the future, bright future? Daniel believes, and I believe too.
Absolutely. And then before I discuss the growth of Poland, I mean, first of all, I was born in a completely different times to Daniel. I was born in freedom. I was born in 1999 when Poland was already free. But the important thing to consider here is that whilst Poland was free, it was going through economic hardship, and it was finally rebuilding after 50 years of communism, after years of occupation, after years of wars. And I think that's really interesting, because I moved to the UK with my mother at the age of 8. And what I think is really interesting is that we're all product of Polish history, and I think Daniel's stories and my story, maybe your story, it's very interesting, because we all migrated during different eras of Poland, but this is all, I think, consequences of our history, of our decisions that our, you know, leaders took before, and this is where we ended up. But when it comes to Poland, I think, you know, I was actually speaking about that with many of my friends, that I even remember in 2012, 2013, when having an iPhone in Poland was something different. And just a simple iPhone or an iPad or these sorts of, you know, technology, that was something that was kind of, you know, you stood out with that. Even if you look at Warsaw now, you know, in 2020-21 and 2011, I mean, these are two completely different cities, I would say. The growth of Poland.
Education and being able to... Mm-hmm. yourself in a country of your choice, like you live in London and you are here, you know, studying. So congratulations, you have your master's, I think, and you are working on a...
Yes, I study part-time and I work for Daniel full-time. But yes, I mean, the growth of Poland has been extraordinary. We're just within 10 years, you can really see huge differences, huge progress. And it really, it's a really huge accomplishment.
Yes, you're right, you know. optimistic point of view. Daniel, we are talking about education, you know, because obviously we have young gentlemen and young people who are educating themselves, and I know the future is in their hands. But your education was a big, big part of your life. So if I can like rewind a little bit our interview to the moment, because I want people to know when you, where you, what you were studying. Could you tell us a little bit how your journey to your political career started?
Okay, well, before I say that, though, I must say to you that, you know, when we came here in 1978, my mother, and I've discussed this with her many times subsequently, she studied English at the University of Warsaw. And when we came here to Britain, she only spoke to us in English. She did not want to speak to us in Polish. She would not speak to me in Polish and even changed my name to a British name, because she felt it was extremely important to integrate into the British society. And I think this is the problem that a lot of Poles have made in the past, where they have tried to almost strip themselves of their Polish identity, take a British name, and try to integrate into society. Now, I can understand the logic, because there was much more discrimination 30 or 40 years ago than there is today. But the first thing I did when I was 16, I don't know what it's like in America, but at 16, when you turn 16, you have certain rights. And one of them is that you can change your name. And 2 days after I became 16 in 1988, I asked my mother to take me to a lawyer and for me to change my name back to Kavchinsky. And now Philip is working in my office. Young boy, he approached my office and he said, Mr. Kavchinsky, can I work for you? I'm a young young boy who's finished University of Canterbury. And I've employed him in my office. And every day, in addition to all the work that he has to do, we read Polish together for 40 minutes a time. And at the end of the program, I'm going to ask him to put up on the screen an article that we were reading yesterday in Polish, because I would like you to hear how I'm reading Polish. To begin with, and that this is my appeal to all of your listeners, when you are trying to learn Polish, as I have done, you become so frustrated, or at least I did, so frustrated, so angry at the you think of it as such a complicated language, such an unnecessarily complicated language, with all the extraordinary different endings, and it's a nightmare, absolute nightmare. But you then eventually you get over that pain threshold barrier, and once you get over it, the beauty of the language is absolutely amazing. And if you understand, this is what I said to my friend Joseph Mwai Ray, who you mentioned at the beginning, my friend from Buffalo, who does a great deal for Polonia in Buffalo. But I said to him, if the one advice I can give you, Joseph, as a Polish patriot like me, invest in the time with a private tutor to learn Polish. Because if you can't speak Polish, your ability to engage with Poles in Poland, to understand the culture, the history, is so much negated. So my advice to your listeners is this. If you have Polish roots, the greatest thing that you can do for yourself and for your children is to learn this extraordinary, beautiful language.
So sweet, so great said. Thank you so much for that. I was guilty of that too. My daughter, I was learning English, so and I was married to American, a gentleman, so really Polish language was not in our household, and I wanted to learn English. And then many, many years later, my child was pretty angry at me because said, Mom, you really failed me, you know, you, and this is a very hard language. So she's studying also Polish language, and she's frustrated. She can order every food in Poland in Polish. So here we already have a winning situation. But yes, she needs private tutor. She really wants that so, so much. So you're right. For everybody who leaves country, please, please don't do what I did to my child. you need to give them the ability to learn this language because it's just amazing language.
Yes, it was very cathartic for me yesterday, because yesterday for the first time I read this article to my mother over the telephone in Polish fluently. And of course, you know, we've debated amongst ourselves for many years. I think my mother gets a little cross with me, a little upset when I chide her about not teaching me Polish before, because, you know, the other side of it is many young mothers, who Polish mothers who have come to America or Britain, obviously want the very best for their children. And some make the decision that they feel that they have to make sure that the child is integrated to the new homeland. But my mother made a great deal of sacrifices when we came. And she sent me to a private school, a private Roman Catholic school, where, you know, I then went on to university in Scotland. And I studied, to answer your question, I studied business studies with French. And spent 12 years in the private sector, but now I've been a member of parliament for 16 years. I didn't talk about Poland much, and I'll tell you to begin with, and I'll tell you why. When I was at boarding school, I used to talk about Poland all the time because I was so homesick. And one boy turned around to me in the school canteen and said, and this is the summer of 1980, so we're going back 40 years. He turned around to me and said something which has stuck with me forever. He said, "Well, if you like Poland so much, why don't you go back to Poland?" But he was slightly more rude than that. And it really cut me to the quick. It really upset me. And I just felt, even when I became Member of Parliament for the first time in 2005, I didn't really talk much about Poland. I wanted to focus on domestic issues here in the United Kingdom. And it's only through the support of friends like George Baczynski and others that given me the encouragement to speak out more about Poland and to spend more of my time now on my fifth term of office in the House of Commons on promoting Anglo-Polish relations. And we take delegations of British MPs many times before COVID to Warsaw, because we select people who have never been to Poland. And the first thing that we do before we take them to the Polish Parliament and the Senate and the Foreign Office and all those official teams, the first thing we do, you know what the first thing that we do? We take them to the Warsaw Uprising Museum, because we want them to see. They find it absolutely mind-blowing. They can't get it into their minds because they've never been taught this in British schools. How Warsaw was completely destroyed. 98% of it completely flattened. And you even meet friends in the Polish club here in London, women who were walking in the sewers every day, crawling in the sewers to deliver food to the soldiers, to Armia Krajowa, who were fighting the Germans in 1944. And because the Poles tried to liberate Warsaw, Adolf Hitler ordered Warsaw to be completely destroyed and obliterated from the map of Europe. So one of the reasons I feel very strongly now is that we must seek war reparations from Germany. I'm very disappointed, I have to say to you, at the lack of progress from the Polish government on this issue. It almost seems to me as if we have to just comply with the status quo of improving relations with our neighbor and improving trade and continuing with our segmentation into the European Union project. But what does that say? My generation is the last generation that can fight for and seek war reparations from Poland, because when we're gone, that's it. No more. No other generation will be able to do this. I had a young girl who came from Poland who wanted to work in my office. And I said, "How will you work with me on writing a document as to why Poland should pursue war reparations?" And she refused. She said, "No, that's ancient history. Ancient history. I will, as long as I'm a member of parliament, as long as I'm alive, I will always continue to fight for Poland to go to an international court and seek war reparations. My beloved grandfather, who I showed you, Roman Kopczynski, his brother hid Jewish families on his estate. He had 8 Jewish families on his estate, in the cellars, in the lofts. And one day he was coming back, and as you know, Poland was the only country in occupied Europe where there was the death penalty for helping Jewish people. That didn't happen in any other country in Europe, but in Poland, because we had the highest concentration of Jewish people in Europe. And he was coming back to his estate, and his neighbor turned around to him, and he said, "Don't go back. The Germans have surrounded your farm." And he said, "I have to go back because my wife and daughter are there." So the Germans made him take off his shoes, they made him dig a grave, and they made him watch. They shot his 12-year-old daughter in front of him, then they shot his wife, then they shot him. And that story was said to me before my return, and I didn't say anything about it for 30 years until somebody started to talk to me about it in Poland. And a few years ago, in front of the Prime Minister of Poland, my family was recognized at a ceremony at Warsaw Zoo, where Poles were also hiding Jewish people in Warsaw Zoo. A ceremony in Warsaw Zoo, my grandfather's brother was acknowledged, and we received a commemorative plaque to acknowledge the sacrifices that they made. But can you imagine how counterintuitive this is? You just introduced us to your delightful young daughter. As a mother, you will know that we are instinctively programmed to protect our children. It's in our DNA. Something happens in your brain which you would give up your own life to protect your own child. These Poles who protected the Jews, they knew exactly what would happen, not just to them, but to their own children and to their wives. And yet they continued to take those risks, and they sacrificed their own children in order to protect their friends and neighbors who were Polish Jews. We can't just forget about that, and we have a duty and responsibility. And my appeal to you is this, and this is why I've agreed to do this show. All the Poles in America, all the Polish Jewish people in America, and I appeal to Jewish people also in New York to join us to try to somehow create a private prosecution against Germany through the British courts or American courts, because it seems to me the Polish government refuses to do this. And I just feel that we have a duty and responsibility to them for their honor and their sacrifices, and to teach the next generation of Polish, young Polish people around the world, the misery and the hell that these people were put through from 1939 to 1945.
Thank you so much for all this work. This is a pretty serious topic. And I know that most of Polish family, they have their own life stories, their own grandparents' stories. And we were, myself also in school, we were taught about all the horrible stuff that happened to our parents and grandparents. We were taken once a year, every time to Auschwitz. Not because we were there once. We were there every year once. Because that's what history is. History cannot be covered. History needs to live and breathe. We have petrifying history, Polish people. And I think world need to remember, like you said, we cannot cover that. This is not ancient history. This is a history from not so long ago. Things like that can happen over and over again. And the Polish people have a right to speak out and ask for what is theirs, what was there. So you are very controversial politician. You are conservative. You speak your mind, and you are speaking on behalf of Polish people. So I just am very proud to give you my platform, Accent On LA Talk Radio. And I'm hoping with all our listenerships and people all around the world will really getting maybe stronger, and they will be shaking off their cover-ups, and they say, he's right, we are trying to forget, but there's nothing to forget. You need to remember and ask for what was yours, the right. So thank you. You know, it's very unusual that this comes from London towards Poland, but really you are a Polish person. You know, yes, you'll see that you will have stronger help from the Polish government, you know.
But may I just also say that the Polish people in this country have a hugely strong band. It's much easier for us because the British people are very appreciative of the Poles. We had a dinner here at the RAF Club, and this is important, I'd like you to remember this. We had a dinner at the RAF Club. The Royal Air Force have, our Air Force have their own club in the centre of London, and we had a dinner, an Anglo-Polish dinner. Half the table was Polish, the other half of the table was British. And Lord Tebbit, who was a very senior member of Margaret Thatcher's cabinet, was our guest speaker. He said this, the Royal Air Force and the Luftwaffe were so evenly matched in the summer of 1940 that we were starting to lose the Battle of Britain. The famous battle over the size of Britain in the summer of 1940, where and Goering sent over the Luftwaffe to bomb Britain and to shoot down our planes. And he said, we were starting to lose, they were shooting more planes down than we were, and we were starting to lose the Battle of Britain. And as you know, if Britain had been occupied in the summer of 1940, then it may have been much more difficult for the Americans to have landed on the continent of Europe, and it may have been much easier for the Germans to win the war outright. And he said this, it was the Poles coming in such huge numbers to fight in the Battle of Britain that tipped the balance to the British side. Because you can replace the planes relatively easily, but it's very difficult to replace pilots. It takes many, many months to teach and train pilots. The Poles came here. The Poles, when Poland was occupied, they didn't bow down to German or Soviet oppression. They left. Many of them escaped via Romania or Soviet Union, and they came here and they continued the fight. And they are the ones, they were the biggest contributor to the Battle of Britain. That's why there's a Polish war memorial, would you believe, in the Prime Minister's constituency. Boris Johnson represents Uxbridge, and in his constituency is the Polish War Memorial, which recognises the unique exceptional contribution that Poles made to fighting for our freedom, not just in the Battle of Britain, but also, if you remember, fighting with the British 8th Army in North Africa, through Italy, Monte Cassino. And the most emotional thing that's happened to me was when I went to Libya on an official British parliamentary delegation before the revolution that toppled Gaddafi, and I spent a whole day in Tobruk and in many other places in Libya looking at Polish grave of all those young Polish boys who died in Libya to continue the fight against fascism wherever it was, whether it was in Libya, whether it was in Tunisia, Italy, whether it was in Arnhem, the landing in Arnhem, whether it was over the Battle of Britain. So many young Polish boys gave up their lives to free Poland and to have a free Poland again. We must always recognize their sacrifices as this generation and remember what they did for Poland.
Big words, big history. We are learning from you. I'm hoping people who will be listening to our show, they will learn the Polish history. Yes, you're right. Poland is a small country in the center of Europe, but really, like you say, our souls, our strength, our patriotism, our humanitarianism is so strong that doesn't matter on what part of the world we are, we will be fighting for what is right for people. that we believe need our help. And 1939, 1945, that's the time, I think, that some people want to forget and don't recognize. So really all your words are just, again, reminder how great country and how great people we are. And you are our the best patriot right now. So I will say it. What about Daniel Kaczynski for president, for Poland, the Polish president? We can start the hashtag, new hashtag.
I think we're just happy at the moment in fighting for Anglo-Polish relations. Look, I must say to you, what is absolutely critical, and also I want to say this to you absolutely unequivocally, to you and your daughter and to all the listeners. Let me say this one thing to you, which I'm very strongly about. We will take any Polish government to court. It attempts to ditch the Zloty. All the countries that are in the European Union, when they joined the European Union, they signed an agreement that they will ditch their currencies in the future and adopt the euro. So countries that still don't use the euro, Sweden, Czech Republic, Poland, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, and Croatia, I think, those eight countries still don't use the euro, but they are all contractually obliged to ditch their currencies in future. Now, there isn't a single group of people in any European country who have voluntarily, of their own choice, decided to get rid of their own currency. It's always been imposed on them by the politicians. And I will fight to ensure that we retain the Zloty, because I'll tell you this, if you don't control your own currency, you don't control your own economy, you don't have your own national bank, you have no independence from a macroeconomic perspective. And I think it is absolutely essential for Poland, in order to retain her sovereignty, keep her currency. And I want you to know that whenever next Polish government, whenever it is, they will come under a huge amount of pressure to ditch their currency, because what they want to do, what these people in Brussels want to do, is to create a supranational state with one currency, one EU army, one foreign policy, one president, and one parliament. And we haven't fought for hundreds of years for Polish freedom and independence, just to sell it all down the river today and for Warsaw to be controlled from Brussels. That is not the sort of Poland that I want for future generations. And retaining the currency, the Zloty, with great... Look on the euro banknotes. There is no indication of any historical context on any of those banknotes. And yet on the Zloty, we have wonderful Polish kings and all sorts of history about our great country. That is why we must continue to control our own currency, Zloty.
Wonderful. Daniel, we have only 10 minutes of our show. I hope you will agree to speak to us one more time, because I have so many questions for you. If you can tell us a little bit about your current projects related to Anglo-Polish relations and something that is called the Three Seas Initiative.
Okay. Poland has taken the leadership in Europe, together with Croatia, in putting together something called the Three Seas Initiative. I would like all of your listeners, please, to Google the Three Seas Initiative. These are 12 countries in Central and Eastern Europe, and it's called the Three Seas Initiative because collectively they border three seas: the Black Sea, the Baltic Sea, and the Adriatic Sea. 12 countries, all of whom are members of the European Union and all of whom are members of NATO, apart from Austria, and they're trying to create a homogeneous regional bloc in Europe in order to cooperate with one another on trans-regional infrastructure projects, like new railway systems and new motorways, but also in trying to create an important regional bloc which stand up to Russia, and will make sure that some of these countries get a much stronger voice collectively within the European Union. And Poland, you know, is at the forefront of creating this bloc. And so what we're doing is interview the ambassadors from all 12 countries, and we're going to be writing a report about the 3Cs initiative. We will make sure that FIP sends it through to you so you can have a read of it, share it with our friends in America and around the world. But I have to say, the Americans have taken a lead in trying to understand what the 3Cs initiative is and in investing in it. So the Americans are really at the forefront of understanding the geopolitical, strategically important aspects of this project, which is managed by and headed by the Polish government.
Like you see, thank you so much. That's very, very complicated and obvious. We would love to learn even more. So again, when we'll be having chance, I will repeat the important questions for you again, so you can really repeat over and over to us so we can learn and we understand where you're going with your plans. So I have a question also about the biggest achievements, not only maybe in relationship of Poland and UK, but I know you are representing your district and you are dealing with your local problems that people can come to you and just complain about. And you have your job is probably from morning when you wake up, go sleep, dealing with this type of issue, answering and talking to people and attending meetings. I know how busy you are, but we don't know that. You know, we think we do. We say, oh, you're representing districts, but we really don't know. From the moment when you wake up at 8 in the morning and drinking coffee or Polish beautiful maki, red flowers, water, you know, when you are starting.
Czerwone maki.
Yeah, czerwone maki from Monte Cassino, red flowers, you know. But
yeah.
Very, very busy. So I would love to get into your day schedule and see how you really have even time to sit, read a book. I know you are writing a book, so this is another thing that I would like to talk to you about. I'm sure you have some hobbies. We want to know because you're so busy, but you cannot only work. Politics is your probably your passion and hobby too, but outside of that, I'm sure you're just having 5 minutes a day to relax. Please tell us you have 5 minutes to relax.
Well, when I relax, you see, when I go back to my constituency every weekend, and you see, people come stop me not just in my office, but because I'm the tallest ever MP at 2 meters 4 centimeters tall. I can't hide. I can't escape. So they recognize me. So they don't stop me in my office. They stop me in swimming pool. They stop me in the supermarket. They stop me in the garage. They stop me in the park. They stop me in the street. And they can get at you. And that is so important because when you represent, in my case, 82,000 people, it's extremely important that they have the opportunity to stop you and to make your life difficult at times. But there's nothing better for a politician than to know that he or she can be held to account by a certain group of people. Otherwise, after 16 years of doing the job, you could get somehow deluded, or you could perhaps not be as focused. So it's the people. And this is why I want to change in Polish politics, because at the moment you elect in Poland, they elect politicians on a huge region. I believe in representing voting for a politician who represents a specific constituency of a designated number of people, and that he or she lives in that community, and that they can hold you to account. That is extremely important, both for the politician, but also for the people that he or she represents. But do I relax? Yes, of course I do. And my hobby is golf. I love golf. And I love to swim. But of course, at the moment, because of COVID, we haven't been able to do that. But I'm looking forward to getting back on the golf course as soon as I can, yes.
I hope you will be having time. I still am coming back to, in a way, my request. I know you want to read something in Polish. I'm not sure if you are able to do it right now. So I cannot wait to hear you Polish, and I hope you are ready.
I am. Brian Porter, Braczem Historii Polski, profesorem Uniwersytetu Michigan Ann Arbor, autorem książki Całkiem Zwyczajny Kraj. Historia Polski bez martyrologii. Nie chrzest przyjął wówczas władca i to nie państwa, a plemienia Polań. Mieszko pierwszy nie był i nie czuł się pakiem. Nie było też wtedy Polski. Było to wydarzenie ważne dla konkretnej osoby, jej zaufanych i poddanych, dla niedużego regionu. Dopiero wiele wieków później wspomnienie tej uroczystości stało się istotne dla tych, którzy zaczęli szukać korzeni Polski i polskości. Stała się dla nich ważnym mitem założycielskim. Nie ma jednak nic wspólnego z prawdą historyczną.
Daniel, I was expecting some simple words in Polish because they exist. What you are reading is the most complicated Polish language. It's got historical also flavor, and you are just amazing. So I don't know who is your teacher. Philip, you're probably also...
Oh, Philip. It's Philip. Philip Derwenda is my 22-year-old junior assistant is teaching me Polish. Yes, this boy from Piotrków Trybunalski is teaching me Polish.
Congratulations to both of you. This was very, very impressive. I think I will have time to start reading certain words in Polish, and that's my first language anyway. So really, really congratulations. And we are talking today to Daniel Kawczyński, the first Polish-born member of British Parliament, and also to Filip Derwenda, who works for Daniel Kawczyński, MP. I'm so honored to have you both on my show, and I'm hoping that you will be back because we have so many questions. I have no time to ask you.
Tylko chciałem, na końcu tylko chciałem bardzo podziękować panią i córkę pani za możliwości, żebyśmy oje brali udział w wywiadzie. Oczywiście pani jest bardzo miło widziana u nas w Londynie i bardzo zaproszę pani i panią córkę do Izby Gmin tutaj. Jak państwo będziecie następnym razem w Europie. No i z przyjemnością zrobimy następny wywiad, bo chcemy współpracować z panią, żeby Ameryka i Wielka Brytania były coraz lepszymi sojusznikami dla Polski.
I am speechless, so I'm hoping people who don't speak Polish, they are like, huh, we don't know what you were saying. You were saying so sweet words. You were promising to be back in the show, and you were inviting me to places that I only dream to go and see it and see you in your own environment. I'm living right now in London. Like I said, my daughter is working in London, so we are very close to each other. I'm so honored, and you promised that you will be back, and I will be having more questions. And you also can send me some questions because you know what you want to talk to us about. So I think even we'll be putting accent on very important issue. That's why we are here. So accent on with Ilona Europa on LA Talk Radio. So for today, thank you. Wonderful, wonderful patriot. And we love you for everything what you are doing. See you soon. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Gdy los cię rzuci gdzieś w daleki świat, gdy zgubisz szczęście swe i poznasz życia smak, zatęsknisz do rodzinnych stron i wrócisz tu, wrócisz gdzie twój dom. Powrócisz tu, gdzie nad wiślański brzeg po powrócisz tu, za siedmiu gór i rzek powrócisz tu, gdzie płonie słońcem wrzos i głuk, gdzie cienie brzus, piach mazowieckich dróg. Powrócisz tu, gdzie wierzby pośród pól, powrócisz tu, gdzie klucze białych chmur, powrócisz tu, by szukać swoich dróg i gwiazd, by szukać znów, jak wiosną śpiewa las. Powrócisz tu, pod niebem wielkich miast swój zgubisz ślad. Osiągniesz to, co chcesz, za rok, za parę lat. Lecz gdy zdobędziesz wszystko już, z dalekich stron kiedyś wrócisz tu. Powrócisz tu, gdzie nad Wiślański brzeg. Powrócisz tu, za siedmiu gór i rzek. Powrócisz tu, gdzie płonie słońcem brzos i głuk, gdzie cienie brzus, jak mazowieckich dróg. Powrócisz tu, gdzie wierzby pośród pól. Powrócisz tu, gdzie klucze białych chmur. Powrócisz tu, by szukać swoich dróg i gwiazd, by słuchać znów, jak wiosną śpiewa las.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.